the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Let's turn to America, to Cal Thomas. And first, Marion McKeown, do we know yet what happened in the phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin?
No, and that in itself is interesting. It ended about 35, 40 minutes ago. We know that. We were told by Dan Scavino, a Trump White House aide, that it went well. It went very well. And a Russian envoy said that Trump and Putin had just made the world a safer place. I'm paraphrasing there. But I suspect that Trump didn't get what he wanted, because had he got what he wanted and had Russia agreed to the ceasefire, it would be dominating the airwaves by now.
Indeed. And is it true that Putin kept him waiting, that he delayed the start of the call?
Well, the call was certainly delayed. It was, I mean, I can't confirm that it was Putin, but we do know that it didn't start on schedule.
Okay. Cal Thomas, what do you make of this? Because Trump is normally so quick out of the traps, boasting about his perfect phone calls. What do you make of the fact that we've heard nothing of this so far?
Well, we have, Matt, and your producer is about to hand you a readout from the White House that I just got 90 seconds ago. I read through it quickly. There's nothing specific. It's about both leaders agree for a need to for peace. There's nothing about territorial concessions. There was talk about a general talk about Iran can't be allowed to destroy Israel, presumably meaning it can't be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. But there's nothing specific in here. It's like just two men talking to each other in generalities. And Putin didn't get what he wanted, and clearly Trump didn't get what he wants. He said he wants. They agreed they need to be a ceasefire, but there was no specifics as to how to reach that goal. So unless they're not telling us certain things about the phone call, which went on either for 90 minutes or 3 hours. There are two reports coming out of there about how long it lasted. Of course, these things usually last a little longer because of the translations going both ways. But the version the White House put out, I don't see anything new in it.
Okay, because also there has this expectation, Marion, has developed over the last couple of days, that essentially a carve-up between US and Russia in relation to Ukraine was being set up. Where has that come from, that idea?
I'm looking at the readout now. I just landed it as well. And one of the lines that grabbed my attention is the leaders agreed that the movement to peace will begin with an energy and infrastructure ceasefire, as well as technical negotiations. So that seems to indicate that, as you say, in terms of this carve-up, the big power plant that Russia wants and various other things. Look, we know what Putin wants. He wants to keep all the territories that he's taken, about 20% of Ukraine and Crimea. He wants basically Ukraine to be completely isolated for its military ability to be slashed. He wants no NATO membership or no peacekeeping forces on the ground. He basically wants to keep what he's taken and to be able to regroup and come back and take the rest when he's ready. That's what Putin wants. And anybody who believes otherwise is living on a different planet. And Trump is so far facilitating him in that really handsomely. We know that Ukraine agreed to this ceasefire without any preconditions immediately. Putin still hasn't agreed to it. And he's stalling the ball. He's playing Trump. It's obvious to everybody except presumably Donald Trump.
What do you make of that, Cal? I mean, how embarrassing is this for the United States that you have a president who I don't think has ever issued a single critical line about Vladimir Putin, despite his willingness to have a kick and a lash against nearly everybody else?
Well, he has in the past, Matt. He's imposed sanctions and has said that if there wasn't a peace deal, if Putin refused the offer by Ukraine, then there would be additional prices to pay. But you're right, he does. And Marion's analysis, the quick analysis of the readout, I think is correct. This phone call produced nothing of any lasting value. Is there going to be a ceasefire? No, apparently not. And Marion is right. I mean, he has Crimea. He wants 20% at least. He holds now, wants more of Ukraine. And we can't forget what he has said repeatedly, that he wants to restore what he calls the glory days of the Soviet Union with all those former Eastern republics back under Russia's control. Why should he not be believed? He lies about everything else, But I believe he's telling the truth when it comes to that.
Let's move on to other things. And Marion, tell us please about Trump's call for the impeachment of a judge handling lawsuits over Trump's attempted deportation of so-called suspected Venezuelan gang members.
Yeah, you know, this
Sorry, there's
really
two elements to this, really, isn't there?
Yes.
There's Venezuela and there's the judges.
Well, there's and also there's a third element that has happened in the last hour, which is the Chief Justice John Roberts responding to Trump's hysterical middle of the night, all caps, rant about what he calls James Bosing as a radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker, an agitator, calling for his impeachment. Now, it's very interesting to me because John Roberts basically facilitated this lawless presidency with the presidential immunity ruling. He's single-handedly responsible for the plummet in morale and in public approval of the US Supreme Court. But now he's decided to step up and remind Trump very gently in a short statement that impeachment really isn't an option, that the way that you deal with rulings you don't like is through the appellate process. Now, why did he choose to step up for James Bosbeg instead of all the other judges Trump has attacked, Tanya Chutkan, Juan Marchano, and countless other federal judges? Well, James Bosbeg was a former roommate of Brett Kavanaugh's. He's very much part of that social group of those Supreme Court judges. He was initially appointed first by George W. Bush, not by Obama. He was promoted by Obama.
Sorry, I thought he was a radical left judge, Marion.
Exactly. So all of this is complete nonsense. Yes, he was promoted by Barack Obama, but he was a Bush appointee. He's very friendly, as I said, with Brett Kavanaugh and others in the Supreme Court social circuit, shall we call it. So I find basically, Roberts' intervention is really a day late and a dollar short, and he's clearly sticking up for one of their own.
Okay, but this is Marion, just before we talk about the Venezuelan thing, I want to go to Cal on this. Cal, as a conservative, how concerned would you be about these constant attacks on the judiciary if they don't deliver judgments that Trump wants, or if they put a block on measures he's trying to implement because they believe those measures to be illegal?
Well, you'll like my column on Thursday, Matt. I just finished it and I sent it off to you folks. We have a thing called due process in America. It goes back to the Magna Carta. It's incarnated in our Constitution, the 5th and 14th Amendments. There is a process you go through. Now, with respect to the Venezuelan deportation of alleged criminals, the administration had it right initially, was going to send these people to Guantanamo. They had all these tents set up while they would go through due process before an immigration judge. Now, apparently, Trump has figured that it benefits him more politically to avoid due process, to not obey what judges are saying. And I might point out that Joe Biden did the same thing when the Supreme Court ruled that he couldn't unilaterally forgive student loans. So this is not unique to Trump, although he has practiced it with greater force than anybody else. I think, you know, we have a separation of powers in the United States. And I think for him to continue to attack the judicial systems undermines its credibility and is not good for the country and the Constitution.
So, Marion McKeown, if you're a Venezuelan male now in the United States, are you automatically assumed to be a terrorist?
Well, it sort of seems that way because we don't know. Apparently, what we're hearing is the criteria is certain tattoos that apparently a lot of working class Venezuelan men get, and it doesn't mean they're part of a gang. Look, nobody in America wants these gang members in America, and I think everybody is absolutely right to want to see them deported. You don't want people who are sex traffickers, who are dealing drugs and guns, and who are violent. So people who are actually members of these gangs, yes, they should be deported, but as Cal said, there should be due process precisely to ensure that people aren't being effectively disappeared, that they're not being loaded onto planes and sent to a third country, in this case to El Salvador, where you have this president there who revels in the sight of all these men in these mass prisons as a show of his power. So I think that this judge was right, but the open defiance of this judge, and then what I found absolutely appalling was, as I said, the president of El Salvador, the planes were in the air basically, and the dispute is now there were three different planes. One took off after the judge issued his written order. That is an open defiance. If there were on that plane people who Trump deliberately ensured avoided due process, but basically, to make a long story short here, and it is a complicated story, at least two of the planes we think were in the air. They didn't turn them around as the judge requested, and the president of El Salvador posted on Twitter, "Oopsie, too late," mocking this judge. And Marco Rubio, the American Secretary of State, reposted that, which is absolutely disgusting. And it just shows how craven all of these Trump cabinet members are and how much enthralled they are to Trump. This is a defiance of a federal judge who's being mocked by a third party president, a third country president, and the American Secretary of State is reposting it and thinking it's funny.
Okay, and what about France getting the Statue of Liberty back from the United States, Cal? I think somewhat of a joking suggestion having been made, but what do you make of the response of the White House press spokeswoman about that?
Well, this was made by an obscure French politician, of course, this idea of getting our Statue of Liberty back. My response would be, look, we gave him Disney Paris, the trade is even.
Okay. What about the insult, though, to me, that if it wasn't for the Americans, that the French would be speaking German? What do you make of that, Cal?
I've heard that before, of course, and technically it may be true, but I think it's an insult. There were many free French who fought admirably. There were spies working for the Allies within France, and there are many French people who yearned to be free and were occupied by the Nazis. So I think that's an unfair thing to say, and I wish he hadn't said it.
His approval rating, though, is the highest he's ever had, Cal. So
indeed.
How long will that last, do you think?
Well, it depends. I mean, he's only been in office since January 20th, of course, and the economy is the big thing. It is starting to turn around a little bit. Egg prices are starting to come down. Gasoline prices are down a little bit. I think that a lot depends on whether these tariffs are going to be slapped on April 2nd, which is his target date for these things, and if they are, what effect that will have on the economy and prices. So it's very early, and a lot of these questions asked in polls, it depends on how you ask them, and it depends on the understanding of the person being asked. So it's very, very early. We've got a lot more to go, another 3 years and 11 months.
Marion, sometimes I wonder about the US media. For example, today CNN came out and said, Israel says it is conducting extensive strikes against Hamas in Gaza, throwing doubt on the fragile ceasefire. I don't think there's any doubt when you have over 400 people killed in this latest Israeli assault that you don't have a ceasefire anymore. So tell us about the American support for that. The White House apparently had knowledge of this assault before it happened.
That's right, they did, and we learned that from the White House. In fact, look, we all knew that once President Trump was elected, that Israel would have carte blanche, including Israel. There is a political component to this because the budget vote is coming up in the Knesset in Israel, and it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu might be defeated on this. And if he is, there will have to be elections. Now, by returning to war, several hardliners left his cabinet and left the government in protest at the ceasefire. By him returning to war, they'll probably come back in time for the vote. So that, to me, seems to be the political and the real motivating aspect. But this is an absolute flagrant breaking of the ceasefire. Israel did not adhere to the terms. We all knew that there wouldn't really be a second phase. It seemed very, very unlikely. This is playing out, I think, probably as most people could have predicted. But you're right, the cynicism of the Israeli strike, the fact that at least 120 children, we have heard reported, were killed last night as part of the 400 people who were killed overall. It's just appalling, but there will be no pushback from the United States on this, and I can guarantee you that.
A listener question for you, Cal. Shane and Tala wants to know your opinion on Trump ordering the closure of Voice of America.
Well, I think it's a mistake, but I think, if it is true, and we don't get the Voice of America in the United States, it's strictly for foreign consumption, people can be replaced for a more equitable and equal presentation of what is happening in America. So I don't know if the diagnosis is correct, but if it is, and if it is left-leaning and a lot of anti-American comments and the rest, then replace the people who are in charge. It hasn't always been this way. It's only been that way recently. I remember years ago when John Chancellor, the former NBC News correspondent, became the head of it. It was fine as far as I could hear. And when I talked to people in Europe who listened to it, they said they felt that they were getting information that they weren't getting anywhere else from the United States.
Yeah, but you say if it's replaced by equitable and equal presentation. Yeah. Anyway, what's the chance of that under the Trump administration?
Well, you might as well ask that question of what's the chance of that if there was a Democrat in power.
It's so different, Cal. It really is so different.
Do you listen to it, Matt?
The point I'm making to you is to actually equate this Republican administration with Democrat administrations is to ignore what is clearly happening in front of our eyes at present. That this is a Republican administration like no other in living memory.
Well, let me quote Barack Obama, if I may. Elections have consequences, Matt, and a president is entitled to appoint, to nominate people who agree with his worldview and his objectives. And if he thinks that the Voice of America is not doing the kind of job that it was created to do, and it's been around a long time, originally created along with Radio Liberty to get behind the Iron Curtain and in other occupied countries with information about America that they were getting from their local media, then I think that it is his right to do so. But again, I don't have the material in front of me, so I can't make a judgment as
Let me finish with you, Mary McComb, because listeners saying also by contrast, look at what Trump is trying to do with the Kennedy Center. We just explained his visit there where he appeared on the balcony, as one person put it, almost Mussolini-like.
Well, exactly. But can I just say, first of all, that before Voice of America was disbanded, Carrie Lake was put in charge of it, who tried to run for governor of Arizona and the Senate. And even the most extreme MAGA people find her a little too crazy. She's an arch conspiracy theorist. So putting her in charge of Voice of America, and I've seen their transcripts, it's absolutely down the middle of the road stuff. It's completely objective, fact-based journalism. You know, so it's all nonsense. It's just part of Trump's crackdown on freedom of speech because... But to get back to the Kennedy Center, he is now the emperor of the Kennedy Center, and he's going to be putting on all kinds of wonderful shows and turning up there and strutting his stuff and announcing he's releasing the Kennedy, the 80,000 files, which I suspect will be a damn squib, around the Kennedy assassination. No stage is big enough for Donald Trump, and this is the most ludicrous aspect of it, his takeover of an art center. Okay. He's not known as any patron of culture.
Thank you very much for that, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.